Yesterday we reached the high point of the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord's Prayer. And now this sermon continues with some principles for how to live according to the union with the Father that we learned about yesterday. Actually, the teaching of the Lord's Prayer fits into the context of the almsgiving, prayer, and fasting. So these are the pillars of the spiritual life. Now we have a continuation of Jesus' teaching on how to live this way. And the very first thing he wants to set aside is the problem of treasures on earth. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. We can start with what everybody knows. Everybody knows that money does not buy happiness. You don't have to have faith to know that. You just listen to the Beatles or watch any popular movie. Everyone knows that it's possible to be rich and unhappy. In fact, I can list half a dozen movies off the top of my head that are about unhappy old men, rich old men, who find happiness because something happens to break into their ivory tower or their palace. You know, they have a shipwreck or somebody breaks into their house or whatever, they get lost in the woods and suddenly they realize all their money, which wasn't making them happy, is not what will ever make them happy. They need love, they need friendship, they need someone to serve. You know, these are very basic. So Jesus isn't telling us anything new here when he says that moths and decay and thieves will rob us of earthly treasures. Moths eat up our fine clothing, decay, rust can eat up our possessions, thieves can steal whatever we might own. Sometimes when I walk around the neighborhood here, I see some of these big mansions in the neighborhood that have been abandoned. You see that? You know, they're beautiful, beautiful buildings 10 years ago. But then, for whatever reason, the owners leave them. And then termites and rust and plant weeds and whatever leaks in the roof. And 10, 15 years ago, those places are dumpy. And if anyone wants to buy them, they buy them in order to tear them down and build another one. So it's a lesson in exactly what Jesus is saying. But as I say, everybody knows this. Everybody, well, maybe there are a few people who really do live for money. I've sometimes met some, usually they're young men just starting their career, and they're climbing, and they realize how great it is to make money, and they think this is going to make them happy. And they sacrifice their relationships and their health. And after a couple of years, they realize it didn't work. It didn't work. So there aren't that many people who really live for earthly treasures in this sense, that they really think that that's going to make them happy. If you ask people who have lots of earthly treasures, ask them what makes them happy, they never say, having money makes me happy. They never say that. You ask Imelda if having a huge collection of shoes made her happy. She said, that's not what made me happy. So this is a very common case. There are people who have tried to transcend what Jesus says here and say, well, we don't put our earthly treasures in clothing and possessions and things that thieves can steal. We put our money into properties or into investments, or secure investments. But we know that those things don't last either. There's no guarantee. And even more, we know that even if they do last, we don't last. So even if we have all the money we ever needed, and we don't lose it, and no moths, and no thieves, and no rust, but we die, and we can't take with us what we have amassed, if we amass anything. So that's why Jesus' main point here isn't so much about what we can't keep, but what we should keep. That don't store up treasures on earth. Rather, store up treasures in heaven. Treasures in heaven. Now, this is where he's launching us into new territory, because even people with no faith at all who know that you can't buy happiness with money are not necessarily placing their heart in heaven either. Just looking for a dream, or pursuing the dream of a lasting love. Where your treasure is, there also will your heart be. We've spent time last week focusing on the heart because we celebrated the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And this year we also have been making a study of the heart of Joseph. These are very joyful hearts. Hearts with great contentment, fulfillment. Hearts that are full of love. Hearts of Jesus and Mary, the heart of Joseph. And there's no attachment to money or any earthly things in any of them. In fact, there's a great willingness to sacrifice, even to suffer. So what a heart that is fixed on heaven has is freedom from concern about earthly things. Detachment, not disdain for. I mean, we don't hate the world, we don't hate money, we don't hate earthly goods. No, because they come from God. But we don't look to them for fulfillment either. And Jesus goes on to talk about the eye. Now, at first you might think that means good eyesight or poor eyesight, but that's not really what he's talking about. He's talking about what we're focused on. The eye is the lamp of the body, or the lamp of the body is the eye. If the eye is sound, your whole body will be filled with light. In other words, if you're focused, and this is not about eyesight, this is about really the eyes of the heart. If we're focused on what is good, then we will be filled with love of what is good. If our eye is bad, meaning if we're full of envy, this is one of the worst things for spiritual eyesight is envy. Looking at what other people have or how other people are succeeding and then letting that cause sadness in us, that's bad eyesight. Or greed is another obvious one. Endless distraction. Sometimes people fill the eyes of their hearts with novelties, something new and exciting. That's bad eyesight. He says if you're focused on darkness, well then how great will the darkness be in your life? But if you focus on light, then your whole life is bathed with light inside and out. To capture this more thoroughly, this different way of seeing, we can look to St. Paul. St. Paul is just a great teacher and model of the spiritual journey that Jesus teaches in the Sermon on the Mount. The whole sermon is as Pope Francis said, is a revolution. It's a completely different way of thinking, a complete reversal of values. So here in today's first reading, St. Paul, almost jokingly, brings up what is really valuable. It's almost as if he's teasing his opponents, because his opponents have said, well, we're the ones who have the credentials, we have the status, we can speak authoritatively, maybe because they have education or because they were trained by the right teachers, or they were from the good families or whatever it was, or maybe because they were from the right apostolic line, they were taught by the apostles. And Paul comes along and says, okay, you want to boast? You want to boast? Yeah, if you want to play that foolish game of boasting, this waste of time, okay, I'll waste time. You boast about how great you are, I'll boast about how weak I am. You boast about how much you've accomplished, I'll boast about how much I've suffered. You see how he's deliberately turning everything upside down. You boast about how much people have honored you, your acknowledgments, and boast about how many times I've been beaten and imprisoned and shipwrecked, how many sleepless nights I've had, how much misery I've endured for the Lord. They say it's almost in a joking way, but it is joking. He's really teasing them. He's really saying, oh yeah, but you think you can prove your worthiness? Well, our worthiness doesn't come from us. You're barking up the wrong tree. You're playing the wrong game. That's not at all. That has nothing to do with what the Christian life is about. The Christian life is about being redeemed by Jesus Christ, following him, letting him save us, transform us. It's the Lord is our Savior. We're not the ones making ourselves holy or proving ourselves. So Paul boasts of being weak. Why? And this, he'll continue this in tomorrow's reading. Why does he boast of being weak? Because God saves the weak. So the weaker we are, the more God can do for us. And we don't get in the way. Where your treasure is, there also will your heart be. If our heart is with the Lord, then we can boast about being weak too, because it only makes us more secure in our relationship with God. As soon as we start boasting about how many degrees we have or how many accomplishments we have or how much money we have, then we're not relying on God, and our treasure is going to be lost. But if our treasure is Jesus Christ, our treasure is in our relationship with him, no thief can take it. No enemy can deprive us of it. No suffering can ruin it. In fact, suffering can even make it better, as Paul says. So, it's a great lesson to us in some of the principles of the spiritual life. This will continue, in fact, in tomorrow's readings. Both the gospel and the first reading tomorrow will talk about this reversal of values and of finding our treasure in the Lord.